What's up, N-Words? It is I, Technobabbler, yet again, yada, yada, yada. Just want to let you guys know about another podcast that I am on called The Gearbox. It is me and my friend. He's going by Tank on that show. And we discuss kind of current events type stuff. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on right now. And so we give our take on it and what we're doing to, prepare for kind of worst case scenarios and, things to be concerned about, things to be optimistic about, just kind of our general take on a lot of these current events and things that interest us around technology, science, and a little bit of spirituality. But anyway, yeah, it's called The Gearbox, and there'll be a link for it in the description. And I hope you guys, if you're interested, you check that out.
In the years following the outbreak of a deadly virus, the world finds itself in the midst of a great deal of turmoil. Political dissonance and civil unrest are at an all-time high. There are no longer nation-states or countries, but rather regions ruled by corporate entities. Children are born into the debt of their parents and effectively made slaves of from birth. As the ocean level rises, more and more people are displaced and thrust into chaos. Insurrectionists wage proxy wars against an enemy they can neither see nor hope to defeat. Artificial intelligence has been weaponized and is used in all systems of control. The year is 2020, and this is the beginning of the Corona Wars.
What is up, all my N-words and B-words? It is I, the Techno Babbler, yet again, and today I have a very special solo rant for you because DEFCON 29 just took place. Yes, that is right. Everyone's favorite hacker conference has yet again taken place. Last year, it took place in safe mode, which was 100% online / virtual. I participated in that fully. There's definitely drawbacks, you know, with it not being in person. And then that being their first year doing that, kind of forced into it because of the lockdowns. So there were some issues with it, but it's always cool to participate and be on the cutting edge of what's going on in the information security community. So this year, it was a hybrid event, which means that not only did they run a similar configuration to the safe mode, which they did last year, which I'll get into in a little bit, but it basically makes, everything available online. But there was also an in-person event in Vegas. I believe they had many or all of the same locations set up as the last configuration, which it's bittersweet for me personally. Because I am not, well, what they did is they required you to have, to be vaccinated. I believe they actually had a process of confirming it, like, you know, essentially like a passport situation. I didn't look too deeply into it because I'm not currently interested in getting any of these vaccines for COVID. I am not an anti-vaxxer. I have all my other shots. I am glad that I am not at risk for polio and measles and all sorts of shit. I think vaccines are a great thing. They do carry some risk with them. I think that there's a lot of dishonesty in the pharmaceutical community around them that leads to a lot of unnecessary injuries. And I understand the position of parents that are hesitant to get their kids vaccinated. I think there should just be more research and transparency into all that. But and with these, I'm glad that my parents were able to get it. Because, my father is particularly old. He's at risk for, succumbing to COVID. And so it's great that there's an option for him. I'm very against the idea of forcing it on everyone. I think that's terrible. And there's some science that suggests that it's not necessarily the best thing either. Anyway, I digress. This rant is not about that. This is about DEFCON. But I did want to give a bit of information on my position regarding the vaccines because it was required for DEFCON this year, not only to be vaccinated and to prove that you're vaccinated, but also to be masked. So the dark tangent is taking a lot of caution, which I try to look at it from, his perspective of, somebody's trying to keep this community alive. And who, probably drank the Kool-Aid and believes a lot of what has been said on the mainstream media. And so wanting to keep people safe. And just as a business person, trying to keep your business open, because you can imagine the type of liability and lawsuits that you would face. If you had hundreds of thousands of people who reported getting sick or dying or loved ones dying. Not to say that doesn't happen, but anyway, from that perspective, I get it. You want to have the event. You want it to be as safe as possible. You want to limit liability. And so in this world that we find ourselves in, requiring vaccination, making sure that is confirmed and just taking every precaution possible is understandable if you are drinking the Kool-Aid. So I ain't mad at them. But with that said, it, that totally for me killed my, well, I just, you know, I knew right then and there I'm not going to go. So I had learned about this months before the actual event took place. And the first year I went to Vegas completely unprepared. Second year, I prepared some. For financial reasons, I didn't think I was going to be able to go, but something came through for me at the last minute, and I did a little prep work. This year, I did not prepare at all. In fact, I think it was the day before DEF CON officially started. I think I was scrolling, I was looking at some videos on YouTube or something, and I seen that the Red Team Village had an open CTF, Capture the Flag event going on. I was like, hey, that's kind of cool. In the past, I'd wanted to compete in various Capture the Flag events, but not only, like, you got to be on top of your shit. You know, their qualifiers are way ahead of time. You have to be good, like really good, better than I currently am. But yeah, it caught my eye, so I looked a bit deeper into it, and I found that I would be able to participate in that. So I was excited, and then I started looking more into what they had available for the virtual or online aspect of it. And they have a bunch of shit this year, and it's way better organized than it was last year, and it's super fucking free. I was able to do everything without paying anything. Now, in the past, I have, you know, paid for the Human Plus just because I wanted to support. This year, my financial situation is different, as I'm sure a lot of people's are, due to COVID and lockdowns. So I wasn't able to contribute in that way as much as I would have liked to, but I was very happy and grateful to be able to partake in the numerous amounts of free stuff that they had. And so this year, they had all the talks available, pre-recorded online. I think that was the goal last year, although I'm not sure how, it felt like there was a rollout of the talks. And so, but anyway, this year they're all there. As far as I know, they're all there from the beginning. You could watch any of the talks. I haven't even had a chance to do that because I've been doing so much other stuff from it. But it's pretty dope. Like, they had, you have to go to their site to see all the stuff, but they had workshop. Well, actually, the workshops, I think, were in person, but all the talks, and then they had, like, a few different CTFs, actually, that were really easy to join. You didn't have to qualify ahead of time. Anybody could jump on. The Red Team one was the one that I found. It was sponsored. I think there's one or more sponsors. It was really cool because, you know, not only can pretty much anybody jump in and give it a go, there's challenges geared towards beginners all the way up to, you know, elite. And at the end of it all, there are various prizes. Like, you could get free classes, free opportunity at a certification. And then the top tier stuff was, there's $1,000 cash prize and an interview, basically a great job opportunity for one of the companies, one or more. I'm not sure about that situation, but basically you got a job opportunity with the company or companies that were sponsoring that particular event. And it was really cool. So I am into bug bounty hunting, which is web application penetration testing, basically hacking on web-based technologies like APIs, you know, web applications, of course, websites, what have you. And so that is always my main focus when I'm participating in DEF CON, is to find the stuff for the bug bounty hunters. I always feel like there's a bunch of shit that I miss out on that's, like, right there. But last year, I really put a lot of focus into AppSec, the AppSec village, I think it's called. But as I understand it, that is supposed to be the web application security village. And they're kind of, and I don't want to bash them or anything, but, you know, maybe there's stuff I'm just missing. But they kind of didn't have a lot of shit. And last year, I felt like I wasted a lot of time trying to get into there. And, you know, and looking for stuff from them, just stumbling upon Red Team Village stuff. Which Red Team Village is not focused solely on web application or bug bounty type stuff. But they have a ton of stuff for, you know, bug bounty hunters. And that was awesome. Like last year, they blew it away with that. And this year, once again, they did. Because Red Team, for those of you who are listening who don't know, is the idea behind that is to simulate real world threats in a. It's like penetration testing. Like where a pen tester will attempt to compromise systems and networks of various businesses, businesses, infrastructure, or what have you. But a pen tester is just trying to get in. They're just trying to get in. You know, they do also concentrate on taking steps that a hacker would take to not get caught. But generally, it's more about just getting in and, you know, getting as high a level of access and control over the network and systems as possible. Red Team strives to emulate actual real world attacks. So like state sponsored attacks or some of these more famous hacker attacks that we've seen lately, like, you know, a pen tester probably wouldn't be super interested in hitting you with some ransomware, whereas or not you, because you're nobody. Just kidding, you're somebody to me. But to these companies that are requiring the services, while Red Team would actually might use a ransomware attack, or they will study and understand attacks that are being used in the real world, and you know, implement those as close to as how they would be by an actual bad actor or group of bad actors. So that's Red Team. And Red Team Village, of course, is devoted to the study and the education of that, you know, platform of attack. But they also, you know, part of that, of course, is the web, you know, application layer, which is dominated by HTTP, HTTPS applications, web-based technologies. And they had some awesome stuff like the CTF that I participated in. It had a healthy dose of bug bounty stuff, which I'll get into. But what else was there going on at DEF CON? Well, last year, I think I did an episode on it, but Darknet Agents was kind of the other, you know, haven or the place where I was able to go and do a lot, learn a lot, and kind of connect with people more. I really enjoyed the challenges that Darknet Agents offer. Oh, so I should explain what it is. It's kind of like its own village there, but it's cool. They have like kind of this story or this, it's almost like an augmented reality game in a way. Like they have like this fictional kind of story where they weave in like the real members of the Darknet agent organization. They kind of have like this fictional lore behind them, which is, it's actually pretty cool. It's like, you know, like hacker sci-fi themed backstory. And then it's a community. So, you know, they have their Discord. All the villages actually have, you know, Discords. They have sections on the main DEF CON Discord server, and most of them have their own Discord servers. They're on Twitch, they're for video streaming, YouTube, really a whole bunch of shit. If you're into this, I would highly recommend checking it out. I'll leave some links in the description. But, yeah, Darknet Agents, and it's cool, too, because they have advanced stuff, but they also cater to beginners. And last year, what they had, well, every year they have like their own kind of like little CTF that anybody can get in. The prizes aren't like crazy, so it's mostly just for fun and for learning. But I really enjoyed it. Last year, other than the red team stuff that I found, which Omar Santos, I think his name is, he presented Websploit, which is this, it's basically a Docker box, I think, that it just has a bunch of vulnerable application stuff on it. Like it had Matilda, I think it was, WebGoat, BWAP, I think. I don't know. I'll leave a link to it in the description, but it's dope because it's like your ultimate target box. It just has like a bunch of shit to hack on. Super easy to set up, and very useful. But anyway, Darknet Agents. They had their little CTF thing going. I really enjoyed it last year because it had a lot of, like, it was very versatile. They had binary exploitation, open source intelligence, you know, like encryption based stuff. There's loads of very different types of challenges. Like there's one, there's a lot. I was attempting to do it. I didn't finish it. I kind of wish I did. I probably still can, but it had you where you had to like scrape the internet, like scrape for information for OSINT, which is super useful for a lot of different things, actually, even outside of security or hacking. But really enjoyed their challenges last year. This year, it was very OSINT heavy, which isn't bad. OSINT is really big. It's growing because of how prevalent it is. A lot of people don't know how much information about them leaks online or what can be done with the information that, you know, even that they feel is okay to be online. And, you know, so OSINT is super important. It's cool, but being so focused on bug bounty, I didn't find it as interesting. And also overall, I felt like it was less versatile than last year. It's like most challenges were, you know, very OSINT, just OSINT based. So that was not, you know, I guess I'd say I just didn't have as much fun with the Darknet Agent stuff as I did last year, but it's still awesome. If anybody is, you know, interested, I would highly recommend checking it out because it's, for me, is one of the best parts of DEF CON, especially not being able to go in person and get shithouse with hackers I do not know. So this last year, I was, you know, one of the best parts of DEF CON or any type of conference like this is networking with, you know, other people in the community or the industry. And I guess I'm relatively charismatic in person. I have, you know, kind of wild hair. People come up and talk to me and it's pretty easy and usually fun to talk to people. Not the case when I talk to people online. Like when I was dating on Tinder, I had to develop a very strict script for myself. Like I'm a fucking chatbot because I have zero charisma when I'm texting people who don't know me. I have a kind of a weird way of talking and cadence, I guess. And I try to communicate that through text and it does not really translate unless you know me already. I'm assuming that because the people who know me that I text, they, you know, they seem to get my jokes and understand what I'm saying. But so just as a disclaimer, I gotta say I'm a bit of a loser, I guess I'll say, when I am talking to people online. I'm not good at it. So but last year I wanted to network with people. I wanted to, you know, connect with people, form relationships that carry on throughout the year. You know, not solely for the professional opportunities that those tend to garner, but also just to, you know, I love all my friends and, you know, there will, you know, most of them will always be my friends and they're like family to me, but none of them are into this shit. And as soon as I start talking about it, their eyes glaze over and it gets a little, you know, a little lonely, I gotta say. And so I have a strong desire to make some, you know, hacker friends. So I guess I kind of went into it with try hard energy. Anyway, long story short, I felt very much like oil and water last year on the DEF CON Discord server. I was trying to strike up conversations there. I was in different chat channels on different servers, primarily on the DEF CON server itself. And I even joined some of the video and audio channels to connect with people that way. Showed my ugly mug and everything. And yeah, I felt like people were kind of rude. I mean, I'm not, maybe it's me. Maybe I just had like bad, you know, kind of desperate energy. Talk to me, please. But yeah, it didn't, long story short, it did not fucking go very well, in my opinion. This year was a million times better. I did not go into it with the same mentality. And of course, it's a different event, you know, because of, you know, it's a hybrid. Every year is different. You know, it's the same event, but it's different in a lot of ways. And this year just went way better. I mean, I always try to, you know, research and focus and get, you know, do the best to get to make use of my time the best I can when I go or participate in these events. And with this, because I was so focused on just, I want to do the CTF, I want to do the CTF, I want to do as many challenges and CTFs as I can. That was my main shit, because I knew that the talks were there. They're going to continue to be there. There's going to be links in the description of this, so you guys could check them out too if you're into it. And so just going in with that mindset, I was like very objective. And so So when I was signing up for the CTF, I noticed that you had to be a part of a team to actually register for it. And I was like, well, shit, if they're going to be teams, I mean, technically you could start your own team and just go solo, but I was like, I'm not going to do very good. And why the fuck not? So I went into the contest channel on the Discord server, and I just dropped the fucking, hey, anybody need teammate for the Red Team Village CTF? And lo and behold, like not long after, somebody dropped me a direct message, and we just started talking about our skills, formulating a strategy. And then he, that was Mr. Telnet, shout out to Mr. Telnet, he hooked up with Shisui, I think that's how his name is pronounced, who already had a team going. And before I knew it, I was on a fucking team. I was like in a hacker team. I was like, oh shit, I'm in it. And so we discussed our, that was like dope, like without even really trying, networked. A spoiler alert, but I still talk to these dudes. They're super cool. We're looking forward to hacking on more shit. We share other interests, like Shisui is a game developer as well, which is something I've dabbled in the past. He apparently is a fan of Japanese culture and anime as well, which I am quite the buff on. And so it was cool. It was cool. We formed our team. We are the Rogue Strikers. Probably not going to continue with that just because we have so many projects going on, but we're keeping in touch. And probably before the next DEF CON comes, we'll do some other event, maybe another CTF. So that's cool. But for this one, we formulated a strategy based off the information that we had. Usually as it goes, when you form a plan, plan goes off the rails, form a new plan, trying to quote Captain Cold, but I can't remember exactly what he says on the Flash TV show. Shout out to the Flash TV show. But yeah, it was cool. I was the only person who focused on bug bounty hunting. But the other guys, they all had their own disciplines that, you know, I feel like they're much better at their shit than I was at mine. but there we had a forensics guy, Shisui. That's what he specialized in, is data forensics. We had like a cryptography guy. I forget what Mr. Telnet was good at, but it was cool. It was like, it felt like being on the fucking Avengers. Like everybody had their little superpower. And so, yeah, we started it, and it was fun. It wasn't, at first they made it seem like all the initial challenges were going to be like web security based, like bug bounty hunter type shit. But it was, I think they called it Jeopardy style. And they just dropped a bunch of different challenges on the server. And basically they had, you know, stuff from all the different disciplines. So we called out what we were going to attack. And then we just broke off and started attacking shit. And it was cool because if we'd run into a problem, you jump on the server and you say, hey, like, I'm doing this. Does anybody have any ideas? And it was dope. It was fun. That was my first. I've done like little CTFs. Like, you know, I set up the Damn Vulnerable web application, my own boxes to attack. And then from there, I went to the Hacker One CTF. I earned enough points to get a private invite. So now I am on a private program on Hacker One. I'm not sure if I'm able to disclose what program that is legally, so I'm not going to. But this was definitely a logical and organic next step in my journey to bug bounty and my CTF progression. And it was a lot of fun. What did they have? They had, we all kind of made the same mistake in spite of attacking different shit. We all like said, all right, so don't get caught in any rabbit holes. Because the way these things work, unless you're like fucking amazing or have a million people on your team, you're not actually going to be able to solve all the challenges. And so that's what it is. It's kind of a race to see who can solve the most challenges to get the most points. And so part of that strategy, or part of our strategy, and probably anybody's strategy for that, is to not get stuck on a rabbit hole. Like if you're stuck, like they tell you when you take a quiz or a test or something, if you get stuck on a question, don't spend too much time on it. Go to do all the ones that you can do and then come back to do those questions that you were having the most trouble with. And that is what, you know, in this type of CTF situation, most teams I would imagine should do. So we all agreed upon that, and we all got stuck in our own little rabbit holes for a while. So I got, there was this directory traversal vulnerability that I found on the first challenge that I attempted. And I found the vulnerability or the bug so quickly, I was like, oh, this is gonna be a slam dunk. I spent like fucking 3 hours trying to figure out how to fucking find the flag on this bullshit. I just had to like cut it. I just had to fucking cut it. I shouldn't have spent that much time doing that. As you complete challenges, it unlocks more. And so I didn't even look back to see that there are other you know, web-based challenges that I could have attacked, which, you know, probably would have been better ways to spend my time. But it was dope. So after a while, I gave up on that one and I jumped to a different challenge that was JavaScript based. Actually, it was worth more points. A lot of the JavaScript stuff is considered to be pretty difficult. It is difficult because you're looking at the JavaScript in the browser and looking at the way it affects the DOM. You're trying to find syncs to do different things. Sometimes there's encryption, you know, methods inside of the browser code. Just, it's challenging. You got to know JavaScript well. You have to know how to use the developer tools well. It's something that I struggled on, but I focused on because, the program that I, the private program I'm in, their application is like all fucking like JavaScript all goddamn day. So I was like, God damn it. Like, so it's one of those things where it's like, I might learn a little bit of that down the line. It's probably not going to come up a lot. And then it like instantly starts coming up a lot. And it's like, fuck, I need to learn that shit. So I did take some time to study it, but it was definitely wasn't the easiest challenge. It was one of the least solved challenges, not the least solved challenge, but, not a ton of people solved that. And I was able to get it and it was worth 200 points. So that was pretty cool. It was fun to do that, and I'm really glad that I was able to find a flag. Man, the pressure that you feel, I mean, I've been, you know, I played sports in high school and I've done like a few events, and whenever you're in a competition, that initial like adrenaline, like, oh shit, this shit's going, this shit's real. It like some of my training, I'll say, went out the door, and I just, it's true, they say you revert back to like your muscle memory when you get flustered. And I see, luckily, you know, I had, you know, some skills and understanding of how to use the tools that I use to find a lot of, you know, to find shit. But, I definitely see a lot of areas that I need to improve on. Like, it's a really good reality check, like a gut check, like of where I am, like, that directory traversal, I really, I should have been able to get that. You know, I basically found it because I used Zap and they have an automated scanner that, you know, locates that. Or that might have been my downfall. Like maybe I was attacking it wrong because Zap gave me this lead. Basically, it found that one of the pages takes a parameter that returns a file, and if you include part of the path to the file, it returns it. You know, it's a very standard scan or payload. It's /etc/file name. And so I was just like, oh shit, so I just gotta fuck around with this path and find the flag file. Fucked with it for hours, did not find shit. So I don't know, I kind of wish I had that box so I could keep attacking that. But that's just one thing that I need to be more comfortable with. And another one I found, and you know, and it, a lot of it too is just not being judicious with my time, because the other challenges that I was fucking with, I was rushing, you know what I mean? I was trying to just, I had burned too much time on that directory traversal, the JavaScript one. It just took a lot of time. I had to, excuse me, I had to look through like, you know, every line of code, like, I don't know, it was like 2000 lines of code or some shit, understand what it's doing, the functions. It was kind of cool. It was like a Minesweeper game, but it was hidden on the server. So first you had to find a directory it's in, and then you had to, it's like impossible to beat. I think with, well, actually I never played Minesweeper, I don't know, but I just fucked with it for a few minutes of just clicking the squares, and it's like fucking like instant, like you instantly lose every time. So they're like, beat this Minesweeper game and get the flag. I was like, shit. So I had to look through like every line. I found that there was a like a parameter for a function that you could alter and cause it to, basically just cause it to instantly win. I think that's how I beat it. I forget, I was experimenting with two different ways of attacking it. One was to make it so that they had a function called dead, that if it's triggered, that causes game over, game state. And I was trying to see if I could make it so that it would never trigger that, even if you click the wrong thing. And then my other attack method was to just make it so whenever you clicked anything, it would just trigger the victory condition. Yeah, I think that's what I did, because I didn't have to click around. I hit, it's so fucking funny and weird, but with hacking shit, you'll spend hours or days or whatever, you know, doing recon, enumerating, you know, crafting attacks and shit. And then, you know, at the end, you have like this little fucking link or something that you just send, and it fucks that shit up. So in the dev tools console, there's literally like changing the value of one variable. It was like variable, and I put equals zero. And then it's like, bam, there's a flag. I was like, fuck yeah, y'all, motherfucker. But it's funny, because you put in all this time, and then you just like, the fucking flags equals zero. Bam, done. So that was cool. Yeah, that's what I did. There was some value that tracked how many points you got. And how many, mines that there were. And I fucked with that. I set some value to zero, I think. Or no, it was like, if this value is less than like 3. And so I made it equal to 4. And then it like, it just gave me the flag. So that was cool. But yeah, I got to work on other shit. I found SQL vulnerability. Yeah, my SQL is, I mean, I know it, but barely. Like, it's shitty. It's just like everything that I found, I'm not comfortable enough to like just do it. Like, if I found it and I was just doing a CTF that wasn't time sensitive, which basically that's how it goes. I find shit and then I'll research it. Like, I just, to the point where I know how to find shit, and I'm not really, I don't have attacks coming out the ass and up the sleeves where I could just like, bam. So by the end, and then I was like desperate on time, so I was just like throwing payloads at shit. I was like, I went on sec list. Yeah, I was just like finding lists and fucking throwing them into Zap and blasting shit. And of course, that almost never works, especially in a CTF. So yeah, it was cool. I learned a lot. My team, we actually finished in the top 25%. And you got to think that, okay, so there was, we finished that, we're at 75th place out of, I think it was 390 total teams that entered. But you got to think, some of these people in the top, these teams are actually some of the best hackers in the world, maybe. You know what I mean? Like, they are, you know, this is where the big dogs come to play, and, you know, there's, you know, a prize that, you know, a lot of people would probably want. So we felt pretty good about finishing in the top 25% of the event. And then also, too, some of the teams, they didn't put a cap on how many teammates you could have. And so we found that, like, one of the teams had, like, fucking 20 people. So they beat us, of course, you know, so. And then what we had, I think we're supposed to have 6 in our team. One of our guys, like, I never talked to him. Like, he was never, I don't know how he got on, because as soon as he got on, he was never heard from again. Yeah, so I don't think we did bad. I do not think we did bad. Had a lot of fun. Learned a lot. I see areas I need to improve in. And I'm fucking hooked. I'm looking for other CTFs that I can participate throughout the year. And it's invigorated me to double down on the shit I'm already doing. So that was cool. And there's still lots of stuff to do. That was one thing that they did, that I noticed from last year with the safe mode. A lot of shit stays up. Now, the CTFs, I think they pull them down because, you know, it's pretty expensive to, you know, have those resources running on those servers. And, you know, totally understandable. So I don't know how many. Definitely the Red Team Village CTF that we participated in is down now. Darknet Agents might still be up. Last year, theirs was up for a long ass time. I don't know if it's still up. Like, it was up for like weeks or months after. Like, I would come back and fuck with it. It was cool. But all the talks, oh my God. Like, that's going to be, there's enough content to, you know, shit all the way to next year. You know, I'm going to be, they have it on YouTube, and they have a media server that you can actually download this stuff from, I believe. I haven't gone to it, but it seems like you can just go there and download that shit. So, and then I got to check back to the DEF CON site and just see all the stuff, you know, that I didn't have a chance to look at everything. I just focused on my area of interest and the CTFs. But presumably they have other shit that's still open that, you know, you can go fuck with. I'll probably do a follow-up episode to this if I find anything cool, just to give people resources if they want to check that out. But I'm definitely going to be scouring through the videos of the talks and just finding shit that's related to what I'm into, the web stuff. This also, like, I started out really focused on pen testing and then kind of got interested in Red Team. And because I'm fucking broke, it's kind of hard to set up to do like regular pen testing shit if you don't have, you know, a nicer computer than I have, than I've had. You know, I use like ARM based shit. A lot of stuff you want to do is you need a virtual machine, and I don't have a computer that can really support running virtual machines. So I was always having problems with hardware. Like, to me, there's workarounds, and I got pretty good at reading error codes and fixing them because I encounter them so much. But overall, I just kept running into problems of not having, you know, like, it was hard to set up my tooling. After a while, I learned ways to do that, like with Raspberry Pis, or just different ways you can run Kali and ways to not even use Kali to do stuff. And yeah, it was just hard to do regular pen testing if you don't have a pretty decent computer. And so I found, and then also when I first got interested in it, I was first learning how to program. And, I thought that, you know, programming's programming, and the most available type of technologies that I was encountering was web. You know, it's easier to learn. When you run shit, it's like you can see it instantly. You know what I mean? Like, when you change some code, bam, you get an error message, or you see it on the page. And I had actually learned C# before that for like game shit, and it was fucking hard. You know, like, C# was hard, and the web code was a lot easier. But I always wanted to kind of get to a point where my knowledge connected. So, like, my understanding of web development would connect to kind of this pen testing mission that I was on. And I started to find that if you're into pen testing, you're probably better off learning like more like server side or like hardcore programming shit, like C. You're probably better off, like, the two languages that are probably the most, well, it's debatable, but Python and C or C++ are pretty big in pen testing, in my opinion. A lot of people are using Go for shit now. But when I jumped over to bug bounty hunting, I was instantly kind of caught this thread, like, oh, okay, like, just my understanding of web development and HTTP and, like, internet protocol type shit, it was much more translatable to bug bounty hunting than it was to regular pen testing. With regular pen testing, it's like, you know, you want to know about binary shit and the way memory is stored or allocated in systems and hardware. And it's all very interesting and fascinating to me. But like I was saying, I found it to be less accessible now, of course, that I have kind of transitioned into bug bounty stuff. I see all sorts of ways that I could circumvent or overcome the limitations that I found with my hardware. So that's one of the things I love about all this stuff, though. I feel literally like a kid in a candy store when I'm doing all this. I'm excited to learn it. You know, any new gadget I get, I want to learn about it. I like hacking on Androids. It turns the world into a playground, kind of, you know, because now when I see a website or computer or a you know, or a mobile device or something, like, my brain's like, oh, how can you hack it? What can you run on it? What can you do? So that is the interest. God, I went off on a tangent there. But yeah, there's still loads to do. I'm going to be checking out these videos, seeing what, and there's like kind of like not spinoff events, but a lot of people there or the speakers, they have events that are going on down the line that they inform people of here. So like Nomsec, who's a well-known bug bounty hunter, he's got something going on, I think, in September. I'm going to hopefully be able to participate in. And yeah, just a load of other events and shit to do. So that was DEF CON 29. It was awesome. It's not as good as going there, because I also love Vegas. Like, I just love Vegas by itself. And you put the largest hacker conference the world has ever seen in Vegas, and they have great drinker culture. You know what I mean? It's not like hackers drink. And which, it was so funny. I was on the DEF CON server and I met this dude, Rabbit Tear, and this fool is fucking hilarious. He's like this, I guess, middle-aged white dude, and he was just trashed. You know, and most of these people are like very accomplished in, you know, in the technology field. Like, you know, there are, of course, a lot of hackers, but there's a lot of, like, network administrators, network engineers, software designers, and there's schlubs like me who just love this shit, although I am a web developer. But this guy was fucking hilarious. He was just ranting on the server, just talking mad, crazy shit. And I was talking to him, and he had me dying. And he had a little light, like, he was in the video chat and he was streaming, and for some reason his room was all lit in red. It was like monochromatic red. And he's just like, I don't know. You would have had to see it. It was hilarious. Oh, God. I fucking forgot. I went off on a tangent again. Shout out to Rabbit Tear. Or Tear. I don't know how it's pronounced. But yeah, so it was great. It was much better for me than last year. But I love going in person. The years, I think I went 2 years, 26, 27, yeah. And then 28 was last year. It was in safe mode, and 29 was this year. Yeah. So the first 2 years I went was in person. Fucking loved it. You know, just meeting people in person, getting fucking shit faced, being in Vegas, going around doing crazy Vegas shenanigans. You know, being in person for the talks, all the ladies. Oh, the hacker ladies. Shout out to the hacker ladies and just all the ladies in Vegas and everywhere. Shout out to all y'all. But yeah, so I definitely missed that aspect of it. But for me, I think it was the best it could be without actually being there. And of course, being there would have been bittersweet for me because of my position on the virus and what's being, you know, done to combat it, and just a lot of all the nonsense around it. You know, it would have been not the same experience. I'm sure it's not the same experience for anybody who went, you know, but probably a lot of people didn't have a problem with what they were prescribing. And so, you know, to each their own. But this gives me kind of an idea that I'm kind of banging around with in this mostly hollow head of mine. And I was thinking of having like my own little party there, like during DEF CON. Like, if next year, hopefully everything's back to normal. And I honestly have no reason to do this. But if it's not, I would surmise that there are, and you know, just to preface what I'm about to say, it was frustrating too, because the last I heard, Vegas was mostly open, you know, like most places you can go with no mask. Granted, technically you're supposed to get vaccinated to not wear a mask, but you know, how many people are actually doing that is open for debate. But you know, however you see the situation, as of recording this, some of my most recent reports or information I've gotten from Vegas is that's pretty open. You know what I mean? It's, you know, I had gone to Vegas to see a friend about a month or two ago. We hit a bar and some places. People were cool. It seemed like masks were optional for everybody. Like, some employees were wearing masks, some weren't. It was nice. Like, people were just kind of living life, and you know, people have different positions on, you know, the severity of the virus, the effectiveness of the vaccines. Anyway, this isn't about that, but it was frustrating because DEF CON was so stringent, which I understand, but still, it's like Vegas is pretty open and they had these very kind of strict or draconian rules, of course, probably for safety and for the integrity of their business. But yeah, so I had this idea, and I kind of wanted to do it this year, but my funds is funny, my money's funny, but I wanted to have like a parallel conference where basically it's kind of like a meetup style situation where we get as many people as we can to meet up in Vegas, and then just have like hacker spaces, like where people we'll kind of like we'll meet up at like bars or casinos or wherever and just basically have a meetup in Vegas where we, you know, the talks are all available, so we can, you know, people could bust out their laptop, we could all sit around, watch talks, drink, bullshit, network, maybe set up some of our own boxes, or just like, cause basically use the online or virtual resources that DEF CON made available, but go there in person and have our own in-person con, with their online shit. You know, I was going to call it either Maverick CON or Leech CON, cause we're like Mavericks leeching off of DEF CON. but yeah, that's something that I'm thinking about doing next year if, you know, the situation with the vaccines and everything is still the same. Of course, it's all up in the air with all the madness going on, but I just might do that. Initially, I was just going to go myself and not physically go into the DEF CON and just enjoy Vegas while also enjoying the resources from DEF CON and, you know, hanging around the areas where they're having the events. And, you know, if I bump into some hackers, you just talk to them and, you know, only missing out on a little aspect of DEF CON and saving about $300 on the badge. But, yeah, so that was my DEF CON 29 experience. It was off the chiggity chain. If anybody listening is into it, I will leave. If you're into it and you want to learn more, of course, I'll have links in the description and ways to contact me if you want to ask me shit about it. And if you are, you know, a person who's in a DEF CON already and you just want to bullshit about it, hit me up. I'll probably respond. I don't really have that many fans, so. But yeah, so thank you guys for listening. This has been another episode of The Techno Babbler.